Blog Talk Radio.
This is Dare to Be Authentic Talk Radio Show Worldwide with relationship coach, life coach, and author Mari Mitchell Porter.
Hi, and welcome to Dare to Be Authentic, the radio show where we talk about how authenticity can help you in every area of your life. I'm your host, Mari Mitchell Porter, and I'm so excited to be here with you today. I have a very special guest, and we're going to be introducing her in just a moment. But first, I wanted to remind any of you who are local that I'm having the Monday night Law of Attraction meeting. It's at Panera on 441 in Wiles in Coral Springs, right in the Target Shopping Center. And we start the meeting at 6:30. It runs 6:30 to 8. Come down and join us. We're having a fantastic time raising vibration, of putting out what we want to the universe, and of seeing manifestation. So I hope you'll join us there. And also, I have a very special event this Sunday. I'm going to be at the Butler House in Deerfield Beach signing my books. It's going to be Sunday afternoon from 2 to 5. If you're local and near Deerfield, come out because it's a historical society event, and they're going to have a whole fair, all sorts of other vendors, and they're having an author showcase, which I'm going to be a part of. So I hope to see some of you there. Well, today we have a very special guest. Her name is Debbie Sherrick, and she's the owner of Inside Out Wellness, Inc. She's a holistic codependency coach. She teaches an 8-week healing codependency through the chakras course, which soon will also be offered online. And she also does a 90-minute workshop on healing the past in a holistic approach moving to higher conscious living. She also sees clients on a one-to-one basis, and I'm so excited to have her with me today. How are you doing today, Debbie?
Hi, Mary. I'm doing great. This is going to be so exciting. My favorite topic, being authentic.
Oh, my favorite topic, too. As you can see, I have a whole radio show based on it. It's wonderful to have you here.
Tell us a
little bit first about your story, because your story is one of authenticity, and that's one of the reasons I wanted you on the show.
Well, let me see. To tell my story, to put it in a nutshell, my stories could be an hour long, but my story of how I became a holistic codependency coach, really when I look back in hindsight of all the preparation that I feel like God and His universe have been preparing me for to such a time as this, I feel, that it's all been preparation. I grew up in Indiana, a little farm town, in a very abusive alcoholic home. I was the oldest of four children. My mother was very codependent. And so I learned from her how to be a good codependent. And that's how I grew up in my childhood. My great-grandmother at the time was a herbalist also. And so I was introduced to a lot of holistic and alternative health care in growing up. So in my journey of a lot of heartache and pain and going through my dysfunctional childhood, and then, as we all do, getting out of that and repeating that, choosing unavailable relationships and suffering from a lot of pain and depression and things from my childhood, not really realizing how much it had affected me, because growing up in that, you tend to think it's normal.
Right.
And nothing is like, when you grow up in a home like that, you're definitely not authentic, because nobody talks about their feelings. No one learns to share. You sweep everything under the rug. So you're not taught to be true to yourself and to be authentic.
Right.
So you really lose your identity growing up in an environment like that.
And there's other environments. I mean, I grew up in a home that wasn't abusive and wasn't like that. But everything was a secret, and the kids didn't get told anything in order to protect us. And certain things you couldn't talk about. So it was kind of the same thing as far as me not knowing how to be authentic, because I modeled my mother, who, you know, didn't get upset, didn't say anything. Everything was fine until one day she would explode and get really upset because right. she's not getting what she wants, but she never tells you what she wants. So I learned the same kind of behaviors and had to go through that myself.
Exactly.
So tell me, Debbie, what is the most exciting thing to you as you now teach people how to break out of codependency and get to their authentic self?
Oh, my gosh. The most rewarding, exciting thing for me is when I work with clients. And, you know, I work mostly with women. However, I love working with men also, and I do work with men. If men come forward and admit that they have codependency and relationship issues and a loss of identity, you know, not a lot of men admit that. However, there are a lot of men codependents. So most of my clientele are women. I have, as I said, I have worked with a few men, but my most rewarding thing is to help create a environment in teaching them how the motto, to me, of recovery of codependency is to thine own self be true. And codependents have such a loss of self and a loss of identity. All of our identity is in someone else. You know, we react to other people. We're still reacting our belief systems that we learned growing up, repeating them. We're not speaking our truth and having emotional integrity. So when they come, they really have no idea of who their true, authentic self is. So for them to learn who they are, be true to themselves, how to set boundaries, how to speak their truth, how to love themselves first so they're able to have healthy relationships. And I tell clients, you know, there's no way around it. It's universal for everyone until we learn to love and respect ourselves foremost first. Can we have healthy relationships? Because that energy of self-love and self-respect is how we will attract others to treat us the same way. So we teach people how to treat us. You know, if you don't love yourself and you don't have good esteem and self-respect, you're going to attract someone who's going to mirror that right back to you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I learned that the hard way.
Me too.
And I had to learn all these lessons just like you did. And it was so refreshing when I began to learn who I really was. It was like a world opened up to me. And luckily, my daughters were young enough that I was able to teach them, you know, break that pattern that had been taught to me. And I've been able to teach them the principles that I learned, how you have to love yourself, how you have to put yourself first, all the things I did not learn. I mean, it should be taught in school. It should be part of our curriculum. It's so necessary to our health and to our well-being to love ourselves.
Yes. And, you know, growing up, my precious, sweet mother, who was such a loving, nurturing mom, she really was such a good mommy. She really nurtured and loved us and showed us a lot of affection and praised us and taught us, you know, how to cook and set and read to us. And I remember her being a very, very loving, available, nurturing mom in that way. However, she never modeled to us self-love because she never stuck up for herself in her relationship with my father. She felt she modeled to us that she had no power within herself and that she couldn't make it on her own and that no matter how she was treated, be loyal and stay. So she really, you know, in that way, by her actions as a woman, modeled to us not to be true to yourself and not to be authentic to who you really are. And her identity was totally in my father. So I continued, you know, I didn't know who I was or how to take care of myself or to love myself first. And, you know, even when I work with clients, you know, it's a variety of how they grew up. There's many, many, many different dysfunctional homes. You know, there's, it doesn't have to be alcohol or addiction or drugs or abuse. There's many ways.
Right.
Basically, when parents do not meet those innate needs of teaching a child that they are special and unique and to share their feelings and continuing to model to them how important they are and to teach them how to love themselves and to be whole, there's not many people today that know how to do that. And so to learn that is so rewarding. And I, you know, if you ask my four children, probably what's the one thing your mom has always drove into you? And they all would say to be true to ourselves.
That's great.
Because
that's wonderful.
It's so important. It's just so important. And you know, Mary, people will say, well, I feel guilty if I love myself or put myself first. I feel, you
right.
know, like I'm being conceited.
Right.
I don't feel, because so used to putting other people's needs before their own and not their self. And it's not
Absolutely.
A selfish thing. It's not a conceited thing. It's just honoring yourself and having self-respect. And to me, it is seeing myself through the eyes of God and the creation that I am in His eyes and how He sees me.
Right. That's beautiful. And it was drummed into my head when I was growing up, mostly by religion, that I had to put everybody else first. That was a message
yes.
that I got.
Mm-hmm.
And so
mm-hmm.
to be a good Christian, to be a good person, to be loved by God, this is what I believed, I had mm-hmm. to put everybody else's needs first. I mean,
yes.
eventually you just wear yourself out, and you're miserable, which is what happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody, and the guilt, and then when I began to set the boundaries, you talked about that a minute ago, that was the first way I started to pull out of the codependency. I remember going to a group, just a group, and talking about things. And one of the things they talked about was setting boundaries. And I began to set these tiny little boundaries. I felt so guilty. I felt
yes.
so like I was a bad person. That was a
mm-hmm.
struggle for me. But I was determined to feel different, to be different, to get better. And I continued doing it. And the more I did it, the easier it got. And the more I did it, the easier it got. And that's what I tell my clients, because I give them these assignments to do, like setting boundaries. And they're like, but it's so hard. I said, I know it's hard because we've been doing something different all our lives, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And even young people. I have young, very young people in their 20s are my clients. And even for them, having done this maybe for 20, 22 years, it's really difficult. And you have to get over that guilt. But once you do it, once the guilt begins to go, wow, it's like being a whole new person. Lisa, that's how I feel about it. How about you, Debbie?
Well, you know, speaking of that, you talking about the guilt and growing up with the religion part, for many, many years before I became a codependency coach as a business, that I started doing this, you know, business-wise, for 25 years, I ran groups and taught and spoke at codependency groups. And one
mm-hmm.
of the places that I did it for many, many years was in churches. Because
right.
I love teaching recovery of codependency to Christian women, because
mm-hmm.
a lot of churches teach us how to be codependent.
Yes.
And that happened to me in my second marriage, in this, because that was one of the things, you know, when we talk about, you know, my business is called Inside Out Wellness, because I looked at everything on the outside to make me whole on the inside first, before I realized I had to do the inside work. Well, one of the things
right.
I used and looked at on the outside to try to fix myself on the inside was religion. And one of the churches that I belonged to many, many years ago was a very strict, rigid religious church that taught me to keep loving my abusive husband, my addict husband, turn the other cheek, really taught me to be a doormat, that in mm-hmm. the name of Christ that it would change him. And didn't teach me how to set boundaries, you know. And basically what the whole thing did was teach him how to disrespect me more. And I had no self-love or empowerment in the relationship. So I love being able to speak the truth to Christian women about, you know, the balance of being a loving wife or loving person in relationships and being able to stick up for yourself, and how the scriptures do teach to have boundaries. But even when I'm working with clients, Mary, boundaries in the beginning are very hard.
Yeah.
you know, we go through, you know, how we're going to do this, what they're going to say, what's the worst that can happen. And then when they're mm-hmm. doing that, I make sure I'm available to them because they're always going to get that backlash, you know,
yeah.
and the reaction.
Yeah.
And then they need support of, you know, to confirm to them, you did great, hang in there, it's okay. Because one thing codependents do is they try to take care of their own feelings and someone else's at the same time. And that's impossible. You just cannot
right.
take care of yourself at times and be true to your feelings and worry about what someone else is going to feel and how they're going to react. We're guilty of that. So when you're setting
yeah.
a boundary,
yeah.
you have to say how they react and how they're going to feel about that is their problem, not yours. The first time I set a boundary was actually with my father. When I was married and had children, and, you know, I always grew up seeing my father drunk, and he was coming to my house to see my children, and he would come and be half drunk. And so I was just beginning my ACOA, you know, adult children of alcoholic therapy meetings, and just getting into some recovery many years ago, and this therapist was helping me to set a boundary with my dad. I didn't want him to come to my house drunk. So I had
mm-hmm.
to sit down with my dad, and I knew what his reaction would be and tell him, you know, I love you, and I want you to come visit, and I want you to see your grandchildren. However, I had no choice growing up in seeing you all the time drunk, that I don't want my kids to see that. So come here whenever you want, but you can't come drunk. And, man,
wow.
my heart was pounding out of my chest. I was sweating. I was shaking. I was so afraid because I so wanted my dad's love and approval all my life.
Mm-hmm.
And he did
mm-hmm.
react the way I thought he would react. And, you know, he left, and he didn't speak to me for almost a year because of that. But you know what, Mary? I felt so empowered when I did that. And it was the
right.
beginning of learning to set boundaries. And after that year, when we started speaking again, my dad never came to my house drunk again.
Wow.
He honored
That's
that.
Awesome.
But, you know, it does get easier. Boundaries isn't something we get. It's something you have to practice. And you got to act
yeah.
as if in the beginning. You got to step out in faith and say, I'm going to do this because it's good for me and it's healthy. Not because it feels good, but I'm going to do it. And the more you do it, the easier it does become.
That is true. And another thing I just wanted to add for boundaries is, and you said this, when I began to do that and speak up for myself and say what I liked or didn't like, I felt very empowered. I felt bad because I didn't want to make the person feel bad, and you touched about
mm-hmm.
that. I was too concerned with the person's feelings. And the thing about codependence is we are consumed by how the other person feels. And if the other person's unhappy, we aren't happy. If the person's happy, we're happy. And so
yep.
we're like mimicking the other person's emotions, but we don't even know what our emotions are, and that's
right.
why it's so detrimental.
I used to
and
say
so
I was a thermostat. You know, like if,
oh, that's a good word.
If my husband was not using and being nice to me, I was
mm-hmm.
so, in such a good mood and happy. And if he was being mean and started using again, I would go into a depression. I mean, just really a chameleon. And that is, you know, how codependent, you know, that's about not having our own identity. Our identity is in other people. And
right.
we are dependent on how they act and how they treat us and what they say to us and the whole gamut. So I think it's just a wonderful adventure and journey. You know, when people come to me and they're in so much pain, I'd say, this is exciting because this journey that you're going to learn and grow, you know, is going to feel uncomfortable in the beginning because you're going to be
mm-hmm.
doing behaviors that aren't familiar to you. But
right.
it's going to be so rewarding, and the light at the end of the tunnel is going to be so amazing that it is worth it. It is so worth it. And because of where I've come from and years ago and each, you know, as the years have gone on, as I've gotten healthier and healthier, and I look back, you and I talked about this before we got on the air, that I
mm-hmm.
don't even recognize that woman years ago. I see her and I know it was me, but I'm such a different person today.
I know. I feel the same way. And what's even more striking is when I see another person behaving the way I used to or being the way I used to, I'm in shock, and then I say, oh, my gosh, I used to be just like that. And I'm so thankful that I've learned so much through the years.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll come back and have more discussion. We'll be right back.
I'm Christina Weber. I help Catholic mompreneurs live authentically by fully engaging the power of their calling, earning more and less time, and getting back to enjoying their family. And that's why I'm offering you a complimentary audio download of my newest CD product, 7 Steps to a Regret-Free Catholic Biz Mom Living. Stop feeling guilty and confidently living what matters most. Access your audio immediately at www.catholicwomansguide.com/regret-free. That's go to www.catholicwomansguide.com/regret-free to stop feeling guilty and confidently live what matters most.
We're back talking with Deri Cherik. We've been talking mostly about codependency and how to overcome that. She teaches people, helps people to overcome their codependency. So I don't want to lose, you know, we're kind of more than halfway through the show, and I want to make sure that you can get your information out there. Tell everybody how to get a hold of you, maybe a little bit about your workshop, what's going on right now with you.
Sure. Probably the, you know, there's many different ways, of course, today to get in touch. You know, I'm all over the place with social media. My website is www.insideoutwellnesscoach.com. And there is a codependency questionnaire on there, a diagnostic that people can take the test. It's 21 questions to see where they are in their relationships with self and others, and I have them take that diagnostic and send it to me before I start working with them. And there's also a contact form on there. I also have a live once a month Empower Hour show on Google Hangouts, and they can watch that anywhere at www.empowerhourshow.com. And I have a lot of blogs on there, and they can watch all the YouTube live shows that I do, a topic each month on healing codependency.
Mm-hmm.
I also do a lot of Skype coaching for people around the nation. You know,
right.
I have a lot of different packages. I have holistic packages that I offer for coaching and then people that are local. You know, I do one-on-one. The 8-week healing codependency through the chakras is an 8-week course that I developed about 3 years ago, starting at the root chakra at your family of origin and doing a lot of inner child work and then working up to higher consciousness living. And I'm just now getting that and preparing that to go online also because I have so many clients that are out of the area. But, you know, Mary, I was talking about the workshop in chakra healing, and I always will share when people call and say, well, I'm thinking about working with you, tell me how you work. And I do work very unconventionally in recovery with codependency as a holistic codependency coach. You know, I've been a personal trainer for many years. I'm a licensed nutritionist. I'm a licensed herbalist and aromatherapist, and I do a lot of energy work. And so I like to work with codependency in a very holistic way, which is my story of how I worked on myself first with my health physically. I started, you know, working on myself spiritually. As I said, I tried religion and learning spirituality and all that. And then I started doing the inside work and working emotionally. And holistic means the whole person. It is the physical, the emotional, and the spiritual. We're all a three-part being. And to be healthy is to work on all three of those areas. And I love the program. I love the 12-step program. I love Al-Anon and CODA and AA and all those programs. However, a lot of times, a lot of clients that I work with who have been in the program for years have been going, you know, working their steps and doing work, but they may be a physical wreck. They have no spiritual connection. And so they're lost in those areas. So when I work with clients, it's imperative to me to let's look at your physical health. You know, are you depressed, anxiety? Are you on medications? are you, you know, what's going on with you physically? What's going on with you spiritually? What is your connection to source, energy, God, whatever you call that?
Right.
Because to me, higher consciousness living is the answer. And not living by our emotions and feelings and reacting to life, but working on the totality holistically with people. And I love doing that. I love working with the whole person.
That's fantastic. And that's the only way that it can be done, because like you say, every area affects every other area. So if we are a wreck, if we are suffering from depression, if we have terrible anxiety, all those different things affect us, affect our whole life. So that's the only way to go, is to work holistically. At least that's what I believe. Fantastic. Go ahead. Okay.
Well,
so,
I would go ahead.
No, go ahead if you have another thought.
Well, I was going to say, when we were talking about the whole person, a lot of my clients, too, that I work with are emotional eaters, which, you know, falls a lot into codependency. You know, they will eat to comfort and handle their emotions and their feelings. So I love working with emotional eaters. And you know, really, Mary, anything, to me, it's anything that we use on the outside to try to make us feel better on the inside. It can be relationships, it can be food, it can be drugs, it can be shopping, it can be sex, it can be religion. It's that we're looking for that fix for the pain and the emptiness that we're feeling inside, that there's got to be something out there to make us feel better inside. And to me, until we do that inside work, does it show up on the outside?
Absolutely. I totally agree with you, because that's the way it was for me. Until I began to work on inside of me, until I began to connect with Source, with God, until I began to know that the happiness that I was searching for and in a miserable way I couldn't attain came from inside of me. It didn't come from anybody outside of me. It didn't come from relationships or jobs or money or anything. The happiness, the joy comes from inside. Once I knew that, once I felt that joy, my life completely changed. And that's what you're talking about.
And, you know, it's not even, you know, we can know that, and we can get therapy, but so much of that, and I know that you feel the same way, is so subconscious. And that's why I like working with the subconscious and the belief systems that we acquired, like by the age of 7 growing up, that we continue to recreate in our life today that aren't working for us. And so what is that in the subconscious, you know, that is still there that we need to get to and look at and change your belief system so you can start having more joy and happiness and healthier relationships?
I couldn't agree more. We're going down to the end of the show, but I did want to give you an opportunity to say one last thing to a listener out there, maybe someone who doesn't even know what step to take, but they know that the life that they have now has got to change. What would you say to them?
Well, I would say to someone like that, you know, when we are sick and tired of being sick and tired, is when we get help. And when we are ready for that, I feel the teacher will appear. So when you're ready to really make those changes, you say, I've tried everything. I can't take, you know, the things that keep repeating over and over, doing the same thing over and over, expecting different results. Then it's time to start doing some really deep work on your whole being, because you deserve that and you owe that to yourself. And that there is hope. I always like to tell people, you know, to be encouraged. And that's the message I love to share with others, with my story and my life, that people will look at me and say, you know what, if Debbie went through all of this, you know, and we, you know, my whole story is unbelievable, but if Debbie got through all this and she has joy today and she's able to turn her scars into stars, then I have hope. And
absolutely.
To me,
Debbie, we're
teaching
out of time,
other people, giving them
encouragement. We're out of time.
Okay.
Yes. And thank you. Thank you so much for being on the show. Thank you all for listening in. And I hope you'll be with us next week. Same time, same channel. Hope you'll be with me then.
Thank you, Mary.
You're welcome. Thank you.
This is Dare to Be Authentic Talk Radio Show Worldwide with relationship coach, life coach, and author, Mari Mitchell Porter.